Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a big girl.
Hey girl, hey, I am Kim A and welcome to Big Girl Chronicles, where we are not skinny, but we are good and plenty, okay? Big Girl Chronicles is a show for all my plus size queens, and we are here to rewrite your life script and teach you how to love yourself unapologetically.
We have a special guest. My wonderful husband, Chez Mann. Hi, babe.
Hello.
So I'm excited to have him join me today. And we are going to continue the conversation from last week and hear a man's point of view. So if you missed last week's show of, oh, now you want to date a big girl, you can always go and catch the replay. So, babe, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself and share.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chez Mann. I'm, of course, the wonderful husband of my terrific, most amazing wife, Kimberly.
Aww.
Mann. I am from Colorado, native, born and raised here from Colorado Springs. A little bit more about myself. I came from a single parent household. My mother, Sarah Rose Mann, who unfortunately has passed away, and one sibling, my brother Robert Dion Page, who also unfortunately has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
In that household growing up, we learned the fundamentals of love and what it means to believe in God and put God first and follow in his footsteps. My mother, being from a single-parent household and having no male influence whatsoever in my life, did a very, very tremendous job in teaching us respect for a woman. In that respect for women, I've used that in every aspect of my life, standing away from the counterparts of males who may not value you for who you are, for what you believe in, for your dreams, for your goals, for whatever aspirations you may have. And she has taught us to just be supportive, that we are all on this great journey of life, and bouncing through emotions and through all of the turmoils, trying to find light at the end of that perpetual tunnel in which we create for ourselves.
Yes.
And the beginning, meeting Kimberly, our relationship started with a lot of communication.
Mm-hmm.
In reference to my profession, I'm a professional truck driver. I've been driving professionally since 2014. I've been everywhere in the country, so I didn't spend a lot of time at home. I was usually always out on the road. As we met, it was over the phone, our first time ever talking. It was not a type of meet and greet at a restaurant or a bistro or a bar or somewhere
right.
that you may have. It was literally on the phone. I was coming out of Las Vegas, Nevada, en route to Salt Lake City. And we spoke on the phone for a little over 7 hours until I made it all the way to Salt Lake City throughout the night. And we talked about literally everything.
Right. I'm sure some might be thinking, well, what did you talk about for 7 hours?
And that everything, we talked about everything, life,
right.
love, God, religion, money, economics, social policies, you name it, everything, the whole gambit of what life entails. And we had so much initially that we were hooked in line and sync on that it would have been unfortunate or literally bad for both of us if we never spoke again after that. So
right.
that literally turned into once a day, then two times a day, and then three times a day, then almost all day for almost a year straight.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sorry, babe, but I would like to add that we never ran out of, you know, things to talk about. And both of us, even as I mentioned in the show last week, we were in a space or at a time in our lives where, look, this is who I am. This is what comes with me. Take it or leave it. And I'm so grateful he took it.
And I can say the same thing about me. Where I was in my life, I kind of didn't know where my relationship status was going to lead in the future. And to go in a little bit of depth into that, my past relationships all were, from a man's point of view, did not turn out the way that I would have expected them to be. A lot of the individuals, and not to slander anybody, but did not have my best intentions or a fundamental agenda that was in line with one of other or each other in sync. And they ended horribly. And I didn't think that marriage or a long-term relationship was ever going to be on the horizon. I thought that was one of those things that were like a fairy tale, something to believe in or we wish for, but the actuality of it actually coming true, I didn't think that was going to be. Of course, obviously, I was wrong, and God has a particular way of putting people into our world that changes our calculus of how we look towards each other, how do we look towards relationships, how we look towards the ideal and the fundamentals of family and being able to create love and the real meanings of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that always kind of stuck out to me as a child, that
yes.
The Lord would love us so much that he gave his only child away to perish. And I think when I think of how we move from the kind of the stages of just talking to the moment that I told my mother I was going to propose to Kim, was that moment of what real love of sacrifice, that this is who I am, my faults, my insecurities, my, fears, my, second thoughts, all the things, the jitters that people get about, well, is this going to be different from the next, letting those things go and walking in on faith. And, the rest was, ultimately history. And we proposed, or I proposed to Kim at the same kissing statue in San Diego, where we initially went on our first date when I first came to San Diego, being shown around. And I felt that that was a perfect spot, which is where I wanted to make it memorable. Not only that, we're married on 11/11, which is Veterans Day, a very significant number, because that was the same date sequentially that I asked him to be my girlfriend coming out of Knoxville, Tennessee. If any of you are familiar with Tennessee, it's a beautiful ride, but not a lot of stuff to do, but we'll hear more about that. Coming through Tennessee, on Veterans Day, I told her on the phone, will you date me? A year later, I asked her to be my wife. A year later after that, we are now married.
Yes.
So I'm very blessed. I'm very honored and forever grateful and always in amazement to be with such a wonderful woman that I respect and I love and cherish above all, literally, second only to the Lord.
Aw, y'all, ain't he wonderful? Yes. But I'm grateful to God for Chez. And when we met, I was already at a space where I'm like, okay, is marriage for me, without going too deep, but I had my own past experiences or, in watching others, those close to me and their patterns and their relationships. So I was like, oh no, I don't want to repeat this pattern at all. But I was like, I guess marriage is not for me at all, and then here comes Chez and God just blew my mind, but with that said, and then also experiencing some traumatic things that I've experienced in my childhood and based off of the insecurities I was going through. And as I mentioned in our very first show, of how it is being a big girl and, only being the best friend or the good friend or being ghosted because of my size, you know? So I wanted to ask you, babe, you know, did you find that hard relating with me, being with me? Because, you know, I was very open and honest with my husband about my past and, you know, how sometimes it is hard to open up in love again. And for you being in a relationship with me, did you find that hard? I hope I didn't make it too difficult for you.
No. You know, I didn't find that hard. I felt it reassuring because I have my own issues, and I think everyone does when it relates to their own insecurities. So it felt comfort. I know it's kind of a convoluted way to mix the two together, but it gave me comfort to know that someone else had issues and problems because I had issues and problems. And that to me was, you know, something that gave me a little bit peace and solace to know that I wasn't coming into a relationship as I've had done before where, you know, I was the only one that was admitting things or coming clean or being transparent and open about it. And the other person had more secrets than Nintendo and NASA can find. So I think that, you know, having that open where I can tell you this and you can tell me that gave me the building blocks to be able to, like, okay, I can be myself. And that just continuously allowed me to be more open, more vulnerable, more, you know, just free, in lack of other words, than to be more reserved and held back. And so that kind of allows me to propel to be more than who I ever was before because of that sense of encouragement, because the strength that I've seen in you, babe, for someone going through their own things and then still coming out on the other side with the same perseverance to want to try and continue to move forward gives me the same motivation to continue to move forward as well. Same thing Barack Obama said, that he would have never became president if it wasn't for Michelle, that motivation is a key factor, especially from a man's point of view, that gives us the ability and humility and the somberness to be like, okay, you know what, I can handle this. I can move forward. If this person can be just as strong, I can be just as strong with them as them, and together we're unstoppable. And
yes.
I like that. You know, so in that, I would like to kind of just give some, you know, examples of, you know, when you don't have someone that's motivating you. It's like having a vehicle and you're going down the road. And if I or that other person doesn't put gas in the car, but they want to go 1,000 miles, you're only going to go so far as the amount of gas that's in that tank. You're only going to go so far in love as the amount of love that is being reciprocated back to you within your own soul, within your own tank, your
mm-hmm.
spiritual tank of driveness and ability to move forward. Keeping that in mind, you know, ladies, you know, coming from a male's point of view, if the person that you're with, from the, you know, the man that you're seeking attention from or you're thinking maybe is interested, is he contributing as much to you, to that gas that's in your tank, as much as you're contributing back to him? It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. Energy is 100% on either side. Don't let anyone tell you that it's 50-50. 50% means that I'm holding back 50%. Where am I allocating 50% to?
Speak.
And so it needs to be 100. You know, there's future episodes me and Kim talk about that we plan to do and say more into detail about this. But it's those fundamentals that I really want you to kind of focus on. Because with me, what I looked at and I see in my wife is joy, love, peace, happiness, and serenity. The man that you're wanting to be with, he should have at least those basic elements when he looks at you. It shouldn't be based on your financial status, the car status, your housing status, your, you know, your ability to meet up on the Friday late night status, Saturday status, what you're doing, Netflix type of thing. It should be based on what he can bring to you that you bring to him that continues your path towards true happiness, love, and respect.
So, babe, what about this? Because there may be some women who feel, and I've been through that, and you'll hear that in my past episodes, where I felt like I may have had to look a certain way or be a certain way because we can be honest, you know, according to what we feel or in our experiences, that men are visual creatures. And I'm not saying men, that's all men want, you know, is the physical, but, you know, we see how social media shows what, you know, what they call social media models, you know, barely wearing anything, or we have to have this type of shape or this type of skin color or hair or whatever. And we're doing this because that's what we feel like men might want.
A real man, that's the difference. A real man is...
Say that again, babe.
A real man is the difference between a... I always used to say this in high school. There's boys to men.
Yes.
And then there's men to boys. I'm going to let that sink in for a little bit, what I said, so you can draw the correlation in between. Like the group Boys to Men, they grew up in high school together and became men. And they understood the concepts of what it is to be a real man. A boy trying to be a boy is going to stay doing boyish things. So what he believes as a, and let me say this as a staple from what we think in society, and I hate staples because they always attach to something and everything that may not coalesce to what you believe in. But in society, a size one, a size two, a size three, listen, none of that matters. You know, what really matters at the end of the day is longevity and love. As they say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. If you were to become, you know, if a man is only looking at you based on physical attributes and you got to fit what IG says and what the YouTube, TV, Netflix, well, that man may not be a real man. He may have a lot of boyish insights psychologically and subconsciously, because if that's what he's attracted to is only what's skin deep, shallow, he's unable to create any type of real depth. And that's what we're looking for, is depth.
Right. And I remember in our conversations, you've always said, you know, okay, yeah, you can have the perfect body, but okay, when you turn 70, 80 years old and that body does not look the same, you know, so does that mean I don't love you anymore? So that's, you know, some of our conversations that we always have.
Yeah, and that does mean that, you know, as an example, I won't name any names, but, you know, from experiences I've known before, that, you know, people who have got together for looks, there was an individual who was involved in a horrible car accident. And because of that horrible car accident, they were somewhat disfigured. That other person left. They left. You know, if that man is just that and he's looking at that, or if you're looking, you know, let's just kind of be honest, if you're only looking for a certain set and if it has to based on looks, that other person will leave. My grandmother always said, there's always someone more attractive than you. She was born in 1911, a lot of wisdom way before internet, IG, YouTube, and Google, when real love was based on real love. And that's all they really had. Fundamentals, like we're talking about. And, you know, if they're not really there for you at the end of the day, what happens if you become paraplegic? What happens if you get diagnosed with a disease where you're unable to walk and you're bedridden for the rest of your life? Is that real love going to carry through, or was it not really love? Was it really just a lust?
Mm-hmm.
Was it something that was only facilitating something for the moment because there was no depth, there was no longevity? And that's why I said, from a man's point of view, a real man is going to look at whatever your size, shape, look, hair color, hairstyle, whatever, what you're driving, what you're not driving, your past, whether you came from the, you know, white picket fence, both mommy and daddy, trust fund, to where you were a single parent household and you were on the food program in elementary school and you lived off of food stamps in your household and you took the bus and you had to walk 3 miles to get to school and back and forth from the grocery store, none of that's going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's really not. Honestly, a real man, that's not going to be something that I'm going to have as a checklist to say, you know what, I can't be with this person because they don't have a 940 FICO score or that they didn't have this when they grew up, because there's a lot of men that didn't have what society would say that all men should have. I mean, I played football in high school, but I didn't go and, you know, get drafted by the Denver Broncos. Shout out to the 2021 season.
Listen,
anyways,
it's about Cali in these streets. I'm sorry. Okay. But not sorry.
But, you know, I didn't have everything that what every woman thinks that a typical male goes through. Like I said, I came from a single parent household. I've never met my dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I learned how to love through my mother and my grandmother and, you know, the elders at church and the older couples who I used to, you know, see who literally made it through so much in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s growing up, way before all the advent of so much propaganda. And that's what I want to kind of reiterate is that person based on propaganda? Is he following something that's following suit, hook, line, and sinker with what society's telling him to be? And if so, that person is not the guy for you, unfortunately. He's not the male for you. Any real man respects another real man. Me and my best friend, who's my best man, we always say that we're a gentleman's gentleman. And that's how I look at my best friend, is that we're gentleman's gentleman. Like, I have your back, you have my back, as long as we're making strides positively in the right direction and that we continue to do that. And I will help and pick you up in your pitfalls and we'll continuously move on. But if you're with a man who's being tore down by his crew, who's telling him, well, why are you with that girl? She doesn't look like this, and she ain't like that, and she ain't pushing the – well, he's going to listen to them, unfortunately. He's not going to listen to you. And maybe that's time that you should cut him loose and move to someone who's going to take you for value, who's going to cherish the things and the moments that you guys share together, because they have a profound appreciation for what real love is, what real honesty means, what real trust, the again, foundations and building blocks of what that is and where that can take you. He's so anxious for that, and he's so much anticipating that to happen. You are that perfect person for that special someone. And that is just
that.
You
that
are,
again, babe.
You know, you're that perfect person for that special someone. You're that piece that's going to complete them. And it's not going to be any barriers based on what, you know, society say your size is or any of that. They have been looking and waiting for you their entire life. The moment that you're able to show them that you're unlike the others is the same moment that they're going to show you that they're not like the others, and vice versa. And in that moment, it'll click and the sparks will fly and all the magic confetti will come out of the thin blue sky. And similar to, you know, what me and Kim have, because it's not far-fetched and I'm not selling a dream or telling you anything that's smoke and mirrors. You know, every day I look at my wife, I'm so forever grateful. I went through the most traumatic times of my life dealing with the loss of my only parent. I have no immediate family left, and my wife was there with me every step of the day to continuously encourage me to want to get up, to want to keep going, to want to keep pressing forward, even when I didn't have enough energy on my own to think that I had it to even make it one more minute. Like, I'm going to let that sink in, to make it one more minute. And that love being transferred back, like I said, that tank analogy, being able to refill that spiritual tank of love, I'm able to then reciprocate that back. So at her lowest moments, whether it's with the job or it's whatever, I can refunnel that same energy back. And that continuation of love and respect for one another, that continuation of just building for one another, has kept us to where we're at right now and continues to keep us going.
Exactly. And I love that we've been able to create a safe place and a safe and secure place for one another, where we talk about it all, the good, bad, ugly, raw, you know, all of it. And I know a lot of this sounds cliche, but it's true. And I'm so thankful to you, babe, you know, that I feel safe and secure in us, that we can build this fundamental connection and continue on as the man.
Absolutely.
And encourage others, you know. So I hate that our time is up, but we are going to continue this. Please let me know if you enjoyed this show, if you got something out of it, you know, send me a inbox, whether it's on Instagram at Big Girl Chronicles. That's my handle on Instagram, or send me a message on Facebook, Kimberly Mann, whatever it is. You can even comment on this platform on Blog Talk Radio. But thank you for joining me, babe. I really enjoyed having you, and we will be having more of these conversations on Big Girl Chronicles. But until next time, everyone, always remember that we may not be skinny, but you are good and plenty, and you are beautiful. You are more than enough. Thank you for tuning in. I am your girl, Kim A, and we will talk to you next week. I'm a big girl.